This is MSG Mic'd Up, a podcast from the 87th Mission Support Group, where we go around JBMDL to talk to people to hear about all the amazing things happening every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to MSG Mic'd Up. This is Lieutenant Colonel Axel Clark. Today I have with me Captain Steve Heptig and Mr. Tom Burden.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
All right, welcome to the show, guys. Steve is the JBMDL Infinity Spark Innovation Lead, and Tom is a former Air Force F-16 mechanic. While in the Air Force, Tom pitched his idea for a grip mat on season 9 of Shark Tank, and grip mat has since been named as a Time Magazine 50 Best Inventions of 2018. And then he was here with us to help kick off the 2020 JBMDL Idea Challenge. Again, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you both on.
Yeah, it's been an amazing time here at the base.
Tom, can you kind of talk about how you got started with GripMat? And first of all, can you describe the GripMat?
The idea is that it's an orange flexible tool tray, and it grips any surface. And with its bright orange color, it acts as a visual management, so you can easily see your tools or see your hardware. So, yeah, what happened was I was an F-16 mechanic in the Air Force. I was tired of my tools sliding off the aircraft. I was tired of begging someone to stand next to the aircraft to hand me tools. And, I was, at the same time, the Air Force was paying for my college to be a mechanical engineer. So, you know, we would always find problems and try to create solutions. And at that point, this was something that really bothered me, and I wanted to create a solution for it. So later, I was sitting in my mom's car, and I noticed she had a non-slip mat on her dashboard to keep her cell phone placed when driving. And I was like, wow, you know, we can make these larger for tools. So that's where I got the idea. And, where I really got my start was at Startup Weekend, where at Startup Weekend, if you've ever heard of it, what they do is basically on a Friday night, they'll have like about 100 pitches, and then they'll vote on the top 10. And if you didn't get picked for the top 10, then you just join a group who did. And then the entire weekend, you push it forward. Anything that you can do of customer research, building a website, building a presentation. And then on Sunday, this is like a little pitch competition. So ended up winning that, and then just kept prototyping until it came to life.
Who hosted that challenge?
So Startup Weekend, if you look online, just Google Startup Weekend, it'll come up. They're actually all over the country. So a lot of times they're at universities. At the time I was living in Toledo, Ohio. I live in Columbus, Ohio now, and there's a lot of, they do about two a year.
So were you worried that when you brought this idea to this challenge that maybe it would get taken or someone would kind of clamp onto it and, let's say, steal it from you?
Yeah. It was funny because actually I was standing in line to pitch it, and behind me was someone that I knew, and they specifically said, do not pitch this because, it could get ripped off. And, I was sitting there thinking, I would rather have someone steal this idea than it die in the back of my head. And, at that point I was like, it's worth swinging for the fences. Let's see what happens.
Nice.
So just for a visual, it kind of looks like almost a baby food tray that are made out of silicone people use these days, mm-hmm. with different chambers for your tools. But it's like that on steroids. But it's so simple, but it's so beautiful in its simplicity of like solving just an exact problem.
Yeah, I actually eat out of these now.
Can you tell us, because you said that you had joined the Air Force, but you went to this Startup Weekend while you were in the Air Force, right?
Yeah. So at the time I was National Guard, Air National Guard. So I was still going to college, and all my free time I would either be going to college classes or drawing on the computer, trying to create what we have now is the grip mat. And I actually would like write down a bunch of problems that I would have at the base or other people would have at the base, and just try to find solutions to what we could create to solve the problems.
Okay. And then, so you were developing this idea while you were in the Air Force. So how was that? Was that helpful or challenging, or what were the pros and cons of being in the Air Force while trying to develop this idea?
Yeah, being in the Air Force honestly was a huge blessing. Being in the Air Force, there's so many resources that you have at your fingertips that, a lot of people I see like not taking full advantage of it. So especially now with, they've got AFWERX, they've got, these Spark cells all over the country now that, they have like banks of 3D printers. Like I like, honestly, when I started, I would have to like sneak into certain parts of the university to like use a 3D printer. And, yeah, that's honestly how I learned how to use 3D printers, is by like sneaking into this one lab that, like after hours, and I would like know who had the key to the room. Where like, there's no more of doing that now. We got even better printers, and you guys have an amazing innovation lab here at the base.
When we played the pitch that you gave on Shark Tank at the keynote this morning, and it was a smooth pitch. It looked great. Was this always a smooth process, or did you hit setbacks along the way?
Yeah, it's funny, like, thinking about that, because, like, when I finally got on Shark Tank, it was about 4 years of working on this, and, like, now it's been, I think we're coming up on six. Actually, it might have been 5 years until we got on Shark Tank. I actually remember the first person I ever told about, the grip mat was a guy who retired from my base. He created, TC Max, which is a system of like checking your tools in and out of the tool crib. And I remember asking, his name is Rick Letterman. I remember asking Rick, how long did it take you for your product to be, you know, all over like Air Force wide? And he said, it took me 3 years. And I remember thinking, 3 years. I'm like, well, with Rick helping me out, I could probably get this done in 1 year. And now we're like 6 years in, and it's just like, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, sometimes things happen a lot easier than what you think. And then, you know, you get a win on the first try. And then other times you're like, damn, like it's taken way long. Like getting in manufacturing took me way longer than I thought. Simply because I didn't know anything about it. And I was like starting from ground zero, really. So.
Do you want to talk a little bit about like what it's like to start in the Air Force? And because I think there's a lot of people out there that they see problems in their shops or in their spaces, but they have the idea, but they don't even know like what to do with that idea. They don't know what step zero to one looks like.
Yeah, I mean, back then it was like step zero to one was really going to the startup weekend, or honestly, I was just looking for rubber compounds of like how I could make a mold for it online. Now I'm really seeing step one, specifically being in the Air Force, is, you know, get in your innovation lab and get into, you know, involved with AvWorks, because they're having so many new ideas coming up. One thing is like, those are great resources, but the thing is like, if this is your idea, this is your passion, like it is not their responsibility to bring your idea to life. Like this is something that you have to be persistent on. And I see that a lot of people just want to like throw out an idea and they want someone else to create it, where like, you know, there's a difference between being given responsibility and taking responsibility. You know, taking the responsibility of this is a problem, I will solve it, you know, I think is like really important.
You talked about the like five mindsets that you think are important for someone who's trying to make an idea happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, so I went over five mindsets. Now I got to like remember what they were. I'm just kidding. So do you have them on your phone right
yes.
now? Okay,
so
yeah, go ahead and say.
Purpose and goal, be a hustler.
Yeah, so it was purpose, hustler. What was... I'm getting them out of order. It was purpose,
urgency,
hustler, urgency, perspective, and commitment. Yes.
I like them, 'cause and you talked about different points in your life where each of those were important,
mm-hmm.
And kind of how your upbringing and things that you've experienced kind of mm-hmm. motivated you or helped crystallize why those were important as you were going through the process and overcoming the different setbacks that you faced. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd say for someone who's like going from step zero to step one, definitely like urgency, like just get the idea out there. You know, what I see a lot of times is I call it the baby syndrome of like when you have an idea and you pitch your idea and you think it's like the most beautiful baby ever, where like, honestly, it's a bad idea. And like your first like five ideas aren't going to be that good. Like you're going to have a lot of bad ideas until you get that good one. So the grip mat is at least my 10th idea.
Okay.
And it's also like probably the 15th iteration of making a grip mat. So I probably have at least 100 different styles of grip mats made on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of times, you know, the idea of sense of urgency is like, just get out and start trying things. And then also, as you start doing that, you'll get familiar with resources that are out there, like AvWorks, like your Spark Cell, like your Innovation Lab. And, you know, you'll be able to start to connect the dots in the future. So you're just really getting your training wheels on of like how to create a product, create, like bring an idea into reality. And that's what you really got to get like passionate about. Like in the speech I was talking about, like purpose, like if your purpose is like make the Air Force better and more innovative, just focus on that of making it better, more innovative, not like, oh, someone took my idea or like this idea is not working, or, you know, just be focused on like the purpose of like, I want to make the Air Force better.
Earlier today, you mentioned like how you originally came up with your prototype. So we talk a lot about minimum viable products, which I think that all of the resources that we have now actually act a little bit as a crutch because people can produce really high quality prototypes. Mm-hmm. But do you want to talk about like, you know, the choices that you face in terms of coming up with a prototype and just kind of scrapping it together and making it happen and overcoming those obstacles?
Yeah. So like MVP is what they say, minimum viable product. So basically like, what is the minimum thing that you can do to get the idea across? And I feel like this is almost like a trap for a lot of perfectionists in society where they want to have like the most perfect thing. And it's kind of weird because I've like watched like college interns come into GripMat and how, you know, like I get that 4.0 student who's trying to get everything perfect where like in reality, there is no perfect thing. I would say, I'd say for like anyone who's, you know, has an idea and they want to create, like bring it into life, like the first step is like getting that MVP. But like what I say is just get a C+. Like it doesn't have to be the first thing, or it doesn't have to be like the best thing ever. Where typically I'll see like a C+ could be done in a couple days, an A+ could take a month. And then like you don't even in reality, you don't even know what is an A+. So therefore you're spending a bunch of time and you don't even know like what we're trying to perfect. Actually, when I was talking about Ned and Sandy, my cousin, she was like such a perfectionist. Like she was a therapist and she wanted to start her own practice. And she said to me, I don't know if I should start a website or my social media. And then like a month later, I talked to her. I said, hey, you know, how'd it go? Like, did you figure out, you know, make your website? And she goes, oh, I never made a decision. I was like, Sandy, both of these could have been done in like an afternoon. And cause she wanted to get that A+. She wanted to do everything perfect where it's like, it's not about doing it perfect. Stop focusing on like doing it right. Just like focus on like what you learned. Everybody looks at like, you know, it's either right or wrong, where there is no like right or wrong. It's just like, who's learning faster and who's adapting faster. It's just a different way to look at it. So coming
from contracting, I think in the acquisition community, we have a challenge with this because we spend years putting together this perfect plan and all these perfect requirements. And then we go off and spend 5 years building this thing and it doesn't get in the hands of any users till 5 or 10 years later. And then they don't like it. But we spent so much time not putting it in their hands that we feel like we're so far down the road that we can't go back to the beginning. So I think we're trying to improve that to get it in people's hands so that we can get feedback quicker.
That is sometimes what I see with people, like when they do commit to get that A+ and then they're like not truly open for feedback because they've got so much time invested into it and so much effort invested into it that, you know, you'll be like, hey, you should have like tweaked it here. And they're like, no, this is like an A+. This is perfect. And they're not like open to feedback. So that's kind of interesting what you're saying of like, you get like, you know, you put all that time invested to it and you're like, well, we're this far. We got to make it work.
One of the last things that you talked about on your 5 was commitment and how, like, how you would take somebody with commitment over anything else. Mm-hmm. And you kind of backed it up with some of the humorous but painful struggles that you went through, like going through your trade shows and some of the stuff like that. You told a story about your cousin, you know, going to look for a rattlesnake in the desert. And one thing that you said that I really liked was don't go looking for a rattlesnake in the desert and then complain that it's hot.
Right, which is wild because, like, you know, you want to be an inventor and you're like, well, I don't want to learn SolidWorks. It's like, that's the first step you gotta learn for that. So, I see all the time, you know, people are like, you know, I want to be an inventor. I want to be a motivational speaker. I want to be an artist. But, like, it's like saying you want to be an artist, but you're afraid to get paint on your hands. It's that's part of it. I've got a friend who's an artist and she said every single piece of clothing she's got paint on it. Like that's just part of it. You know, if you can't want to be, you know, a motivational speaker or like some type of, Like, you can't be a famous actor and be like, well, I can't, I'm not really willing to memorize lines. And I see people do that all the time where it's like, well, I got this idea. I just, like, don't want to do any work to, like, bring it to life. It's kind of wild to me.
One of the other things you talked about were the naysayers out there. And so did you have any naysayers in your work center? I know you've mentioned a lot of times to family. Yeah. But what about in your work center, you bring it to your buddy or someone else in the office and they're like, I don't think so. That's not going to work. How do you overcome something like that?
Yeah, there was a point where I was like really trying to see why are they saying no. And sometimes I don't know if I said this when I was up there, but there was a point, like, I remember I had a couple ideas and I, like, middle of the week came to the base and I was talking to a master sergeant and he was like, yeah, this would never work. And I recognized, like, it wasn't that he didn't believe in it. Like, he believed that it was a solution. He was someone who, like, quit on his dreams, and it, like, to justify him quitting on his dreams, he, like, wants me to fail or, like, not go for my dreams. And it was just, it's weird of, like, when you really see, like, when you watch someone's face of, like, being negative towards it, because after, like, later, there's some people that would be, like, negative towards it. And then after, like, Shark Tank hit, it was just like, yeah, man, I see. I always knew, like, you would make it. And I was just like, no, you didn't, dude. Like, you're that master sergeant that told me no. Yeah, I mean, there was, like, one situation I told you guys briefly, like, I was searching for a trade show to go to, and long story short, I came in contact with someone who helped get military contracts for small businesses. And, she told me, like, hey, here's a map of the United States. You can email each leading general of each state. And I was, like, really afraid to do it. Like, this is killing every role of the chain of command. Long story short, the very next morning on Sunday on drill weekend, I was, like, getting chewed out by a colonel for, like, skipping the chain of command, exactly what I said. And it was funny because I was, like, trying to say her name. They're like, we don't know who that is. We don't care. You're not safe here. And, yeah, it was funny. Like, and I felt like that colonel, like, really started to back down when he just saw, like, how, like, persistent I was. There was a point where he was like, so what is your idea? And I had, like, a folder, like, a binder full of, like, CAD drawings. I had this, like, giant, like, table, like, covered in CAD drawings. I was like, you know, right here when we're working on the jet, you know, we set tools inside the jet and, you know, that goes against this AFI and, you know, everything. And he's like, actually, I used to be a maintainer and this makes a lot of sense. So yeah, when you get those naysayers, I mean, I said it today of like, when you get those naysayers, like, one thing is, like, if you ask someone for help or someone's not being supportive, like, it is not their obligation. It is not their duty to fulfill your dreams, to bring your idea to life. And then also, like, you do not give them the opportunity to, like, to stop you. I see people who have, like, they talk to, like, two investors and then they want to quit. And it's like, well, they said it was a bad idea, so I should quit. I'm like, you should talk to 2,000. Talk to 200, we'll edit your pitch if you keep getting no. And then, like, clearly something we need to adjust, but, like, that doesn't mean you quit. So, yeah, kind of going back to the commitment of being persistent.
So one thing that I thought was really interesting that we definitely don't see in an auditorium full of people is you asked us at one point to do some visualization, essentially, is mm-hmm. what it was. Some power poses and visualization. And there is a lot of data out there from behavioral scientists and psychologists saying that that is a viable strategy. That works. Like, to do a power pose before you go into a meeting, to take some time and think about, like, what your goals are. Mm-hmm. And especially recently, I've been hearing more about how it's important to let our minds be bored, that that's when they're the most creative. And you will often come up with creative ideas after you allow yourself to be a little bored, and we don't get that very much in our society. Mm-hmm. So this morning you asked us to put our hands above our heads in a power pose and think for 2 minutes about what it would look like for us to achieve our goals. And then you asked us to do 8 minutes of something else. You want to kind of talk us through that?
Like, yeah.
What you have done to get here?
Right. So, like, 2 minutes, hands up in, like, a V, and, like, you're visualizing, like, what it's like to succeed your goal, you know, whatever that is, of owning a big house, of, like, being a newscaster on Fox News, or maybe it's you look at your bank account and there's $1 million, whatever it is. So 2 minutes, like you visualize in detail, like how you actually got there. Maybe there's $1 million in your bank because you just closed a big book deal, or what, you know, you wrote a book and it's the number one biggest seller, and you know, you're like putting your mind through that process. And you know, the more you do it, like this is something I do every day, the more I do it, a lot of times when I'm getting closer to that goal, it's getting like more and more clear of exactly what is going to happen, whether it's like the clothes I'm wearing, what I'm about to say, who I'm meeting, or anything really. And then, so do that for 2 minutes, and then for the next 8 minutes, put your hands on your hips on what they call a Wonder Woman stance. And you think in detail of like what you need to do today to get to get there. Honestly, if I were to like do this for like 30 seconds, I probably would get like 75 to 80% of like what I need to do that day. But then almost every single time I'm doing, I'm like, oh, I need to do this other thing that I totally forgot, that I need to follow up with. And I think this would really connect the dots of, you know, this and this. It also, I think like, I mean, this is weird. I kind of view like society as like a triangle where like the very tip of the, like the top of the triangle is pointing up. The tip of the triangle is like the higher up people. So like this is the tip of the triangle is like where a 4-star general would be, where the chiefs would be, where like, you know, the top of society would be, where like the bottom of the triangle is kind of like where, you know, people who aren't focused on growth all the time. You know, this is like a lot more people are here, where I feel like doing this exercise, especially in the morning, kind of puts me in a mindset of like, I'm going to be pushing up towards the top of the triangle every single day. Like you don't just wake up at the top of the triangle. You just don't like wake up being the, you know, the best inventor in the world or whatever it is. And, you know, that's something that you do have to do like every single day to slowly like grow up to the tip of the triangle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you mentioned that you had visualized your pitch on Shark Tank so many times that when they asked the questions, you felt like you'd already done it before.
Yeah, it was kind of real. Like, actually, Lori asked me a question, and I looked at her like, I thought I had told you this already. And I'm like, and I was like, dude, I'm going crazy. And then, it was just because one thing with Shark Tank is, you know what the first like 10 to 15 questions are that you're going to ask. You know, one thing to keep in mind, what aired was 12 minutes long. What happened was an hour and a half long. So we were like, there was a lot, like anything you could think of, they were asking questions about it. So, you know, through that process, you know, I mean, I spent years thinking of like every single question. Actually, the producer said to me to write out 50 questions you think they're going to ask, and then write out detailed questions, and even ask yourself those questions that you don't want answer. You know, you don't want to answer. Yeah, I just kept reviewing those, and it got to the point where I was like, I was pretty ready. It's kind of wild because I've got a friend who just filmed for Shark Tank. It hasn't like been released yet, and he was like, dude, we were not ready. We got rocked, you know? So the visualization really does help a lot.
So at the end, they started making offers to you. I think you pretty much got an offer from each of the sharks in a different way. Mm-hmm. Had you prepared for those offers, or what were you considering when those different offers were coming in?
Yeah, actually, if you didn't recognize, but like towards the end, like when I like said how much money I wanted, it was like a really weird answer because I couldn't divide by three because I wanted to have three sharks. And mm-hmm. I was just like, I know, you know, I actually was trying to get 400,000 out of three sharks. And I was like, I can't divide that by three right now. And I was like, starting to freak out. So, yeah, it was pretty intense. And like, it's funny. Like I said before of like, you know, a lot of times it's natural to think of like the worst case scenario. And when that happens, I think you owe it to yourself to consider the best case scenario. You know, people are always thinking the worst case scenario. And there's been several times in my life that I can remember where I'm like, this is going to be rough. This is going to be like, if best case scenario is a 10 and worst case scenario is a 1, like if we get a 2, I think I'm going to be okay. And sometimes I'll even get higher than what I considered a 10. And that was kind of that situation where I was like, you know, I visualized this literally thousands of times, and I like still didn't visualize this scenario where I'm like, crap, they all want it. Mm-hmm. You know, I may have thought about it like, that'd be pretty cool. But at the same time, it was like, it actually, this is real. So yeah, it was pretty intense. And also, like what I was saying about like the resources of being in the military, like when you have an idea, you know, if it's your own company or you're trying to make, you know, you just want to help the Air Force, like when you're on the civilian world, you get a lot of credit right out of the bat, like right off of the bat. And I've seen that, especially like in Spark Tank, where, you know, these people in the Air Force have this idea and they are so like knowledgeable about this problem. And me even being in the Air Force, I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that was a problem. And they're like, you know, they're weighing out like, look, if we just change a small thing, you know, here's a massive impact it's going to make. So like, that was a huge factor for me being on Shark Tank was being in the Air Force, and was also like, you know, this sounds a little bad, but like any military, anything makes good TV. And like, you know, people enjoy hearing that and hearing success stories of military members. So like, that's all the more power and resources you have of just simply being in the military. So yeah, it's definitely impactful.
You went in to film the TV show. Was that the first time you met the sharks? Like, how did they actually have you go through that filming process?
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, you do a practice run like with the cast, because honestly, the whole idea of the practice run is like to make sure you don't freak out, because they're like, there's a lot of they're paying a lot of money for camera crew. They got the sharks there. Like, they want to make sure you're going to be at least be TV worthy. I bombed the practice pitch so bad that I actually froze, and my producer in the back had like yell at the next line for me to like start going again. And, yeah, I was just like so stressed out. Yeah. So like, you do the practice pitch and then you go in front of the sharks. And when you see the sharks, that is the very first time that they've ever seen you. So something that's kind of funny is like when you first get to Sony Studios, you get a trailer, and on the front of each trailer will have like your company name, but they'll misspell it on purpose, because the sharks will send out like a scout or like some type of like assistant to go try to find something about the people who are about to come, just so they can get a leg up on the other sharks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the thing is, I get to the trailer like, yeah, your trailer number two. And I'm like, number two is spelled something kind of like Grip Map, but it's not Grip Map. I'm like, have I been doing my paperwork the whole time of like under the wrong name? I'm like, crap, man, what's going on? And then, cause what they want is really raw, authentic. They've never seen you before. They actually will ask you if you've ever met a shark before in person. And, if you have or haven't, just say no. And if you have any like pictures online, like take them down. Yeah, yeah, it's like very raw, very authentic. And so the thing is, like, when you pitch your idea, you'll be like, hello, sharks, my name's Tom, and like do your little demo. The second that they ask a question, there is nothing is rehearsed. Like, the sharks don't have anything rehearsed. And like, you'll practice your pitch, and you practicing your pitch is on you. It's not like they put you through a pitch camp or whatever. Like, that is it. Like, and then whatever you bring on stage is your responsibility. They're there to like help you before it happens, but like, that's what they want. Like, sink or swim. Like, this is it. So, there's no cuts. There's nothing. And you just go until there's no stopping. So.
All right. So I think we're about up on time. Yeah. Do you have anything else that, you want to share with the airmen out there at JBMDL? Your last comments?
Yeah. I would say, you know, I was just at the Innovation Lab. It is pretty awesome. It was amazing. I was actually shocked when I walked in there, and sounds like you guys got a pretty solid crew there. So definitely get there. If you have an idea, you guys are having like a little, what's the competition?
The JBMDL Idea Challenge.
Idea Challenge. Like, I would be all over that if I was here. So definitely submit an idea. No matter how like good or bad you think the idea is, just submit it, get your feet wet, and, you know, be a part of the community that's going to change the Air Force.
All right, Steve, do you have any other questions for Tom?
Yeah, I noticed that earlier today you talked a lot about purpose and kind of how you found your purpose. And I know there's something that's really important to you, and you've kind of chosen to give back to the Air Force in one way. Do you want to take a minute and talk about that?
Yeah, so recently what I found a lot of purpose in is, you know, supporting our airmen to the point of, you know, this past year was the highest rate of suicide, and that's something that I'm passionate about, you know, fighting really and banding our airmen together to go against that. So something that I'm doing is called Roll Call, which is a motivational wake up call. And if you want to be a part of it, feel free to text the word Roll Call to 614 614- 614-916-9183. Again, that's 614-916-9183.
Is that roll call all one word or two words?
Roll call all one word.
All right.
And what will they get? What's the concept? So they're going to get a call in the morning.
It'll be a motivational talk from me, or the idea is that we're going to be start getting some other, you know, motivational speakers, whatever they come up with that day. We're going to be mixing it up. And
are you able to talk about your first one? Because I know you have kind of a big name.
The very first one. So the thing is, sign up for it. We're not yet organized. We're starting to get there. We're starting to take phone numbers first, and then we'll go from there. So stay tuned. I'll give you a surprise.
But you got some interesting names in military entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah, Jocko. Jocko is the guy that I'm going for. So if you've ever heard of the book Extreme Ownership, he's amazing. He's got an awesome book. Definitely check it out. So that's someone that I'm going to be shooting for to be part of the wake up call.
Nice. All right, Tom. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. And for those of you out there across JBMDL, we've got the JBMDL Idea Challenge. We'll put the URL in the show notes, but that's closes on the 1st of November, so we have another month or so to get your ideas in. And we're also building in some education along with that, so look out for opportunities to go to workshops to both refine your idea, and then also for the ideas that are selected, we're going to provide some education on how to pitch before you pitch leadership. So get out there and get your idea in the system.